Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waits.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 387. On the podcast today, small cap aficionado Doc Holliday talks about Couves, Pantheon Resources, Rockhopper, and Empyrean. We also mentioned Asos, Boohoo, and a couple of other companies. But first, yesterday was the launch of the OPS, that's the oil price sweepstake with Vox Markets. If you can guess the price of oil at close midday on Friday, well, noon Friday, if you can guess the close, you win that price. Simple as that. Free cash, bit of fun. So go to voxmarkets.co.uk/ops, O-P-S, and place your bet there. Place your guess, I should say, for the sweepstake. Having a look now, so the oil price right now live is $29.19. Who's closest to that? About 50-odd guesses so far. 29, so look, David Jakes looks like he's the closest to that. Listen, we're closing this down, because obviously you can't guess right up to the minute it closes. So we're last guesses or attempts on this will be 4:30 on Thursday. All right, so in 2 days' time, 2 days left. And if no one guesses it correctly, the close at midday on Friday, then it will be a rollover. Yes. Doesn't get more exciting than that, does it? And some interesting facts and figures out from China today about the GDP. But I do point out with Doc that it's not a fair valuation list going on percentage terms for GDP for China. Everyone's saying, oh, it's the slowest growth in 25 years. It's not, though. It's not. On percentage terms, yes. But the economy of China is 10 times as big as it was in 1998. So that means, a 5% rise now is bigger than a 10% or 50% rise back then. So, you know, the economy is huge. You can't keep growing by double-digit figures when you have an economy 10 times as big as it was in 1998. You know, so I think, you know, real data, they are still growing rapidly. 1.3 billion population. And they're growing at almost 7%, if the figures are to be believed, which no one knows. Maybe just come up with a figure, thinking, well, people think we're having slowed down. We were 7% last year. Let's go for 6.9, yeah? It could be like that. It could be as simple as that. Also, today on the podcast, I have... There wasn't meant to be another company on, but they have time-sensitive news, and so they won't be on today. You've got to reschedule that for another day. But also on the podcast, the stock with potential, as suggested by you. Please get involved. This feature would not live if it wasn't for you. Well, Johnny's suggesting that, and I'll do that after the chat with Doc.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waits.
And joining me on the podcast right now is small cap aficionado Doc Holliday. You're right, Doc.
Hello, sir. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm not feeling too bad. I feel the markets have stabilised a bit, haven't they? Do you think? Or is it just me?
I think the figures out of China haven't been as bad as some had speculated. The holiday in the US perhaps presented a bit of a void or gap that people didn't want to be exposed to. But look to be on the straight and narrow again.
Yeah, the thing about China, right, they always go on year-on-year percentage gain. And I'm just thinking, hang on, you know, you're comparing China, like, expanding by 6.9% is a lot bigger than expanding, like, 14% 8 years ago, because its economy is 10 times as big as it was in 1998. So it's still, I know we can't really, some people say can't believe the figures, But, you know, they're a bigger economy, so it's going to be hard to expand by double digits, even high digits, because they're 10 times as big as they were in 1998. So I think, you know, if we are believing that, it's still good expanding. It's good growth, isn't it?
Absolutely. Exactly. I think the common theme out there is that this thing can just keep on kind of evolving and growing at an alarming rate. And as the figure starts to kind of slide down the scale, people think that the growth slowing down. In actual fact, you point, you know, a great argument there as well, Justin, because I'm of a similar opinion. You know, I'm not trying to claim to be you know, somebody who can forecast what's going to happen for the next 10 years, but what we do know is anybody who spent time out in Southeast Asia, particularly around China and those major cities, will tell you just what a different country and even world it appears when you're there now than 5 or 10 years ago. A friend of mine was out there in manufacturing, and he often talks about, you know, well, you can see just from looking at his profile in social media the kind of places he would visit 10 years ago or even 12 years ago, places they would go to eat, the kind of places that they would go to socialise. And now it's like a cosmopolitan kind of city. It looks to be two worlds apart in such a short period of time, and he often comments on that too.
Okay, let's have Doc, three stocks that you know, you've got a bit of interest in or you're looking at, and give us the reasons why, fella.
Straight in at the deep end, eh?
Yeah.
I'd obviously mentioned yesterday that I'd spotted a couple of people, some would argue, getting a bit excitable about Coves PLC. I know that you know, there's been some commentary on that company recently. The company put an announcement out a week or so back which suggested that they needed to raise additional capital, and that was underway. They slipped it in right down the RNS, and at the top of it they had a whole bunch of bullet points about why the company was so great. That perhaps gets the heckles up on a few people's backs. What's happened in a week? Well, the price is no longer 23p or 25p or 30p. It's down at 15p. The directors of the business injected 1.1 million at 37p into the company in October 2015. I'm a believer that directors rarely inject significant amounts of cash into a company, particularly when you look at the size of this business today with a £5 million market cap, unless they feel like they're on a winner. So I looked at that. I then looked at the fact that the capital raising was underway, and that they'd quoted that directors would be subscribing yet again to the next raise, and that would be at 25p. Yesterday we were at 13.5 to 14. Kind of seems a bit of a no-brainer, doesn't it? Are they going to go and cornerstone the next raise? It's looking like that's what's going to happen. But the one thing that they're happy to do, they're happy to put their own hands in the pocket. When you've got skin in the game, it's massively important. So for me, it's a bit of a kind of positive. Go away and look at these rumours that have started to circulate about, you know, Boohoo are taking them out for £30 million. You know, it's got to go, you know, it's got bagger all over it. Them to me, they're opportunistic kind of comments. You know, they're excitable comments, and they're the kind of thing actually that can lead people into the completely the wrong frame of mind. So whilst, you know, I've got no knowledge whether there's a £30 million takeover coming or not, what I do understand is it's very rare that companies will put in so much cash, particularly the directors, unless there's good reason. It's very rare, or it's certainly a positive indicator to see a company, you know, have skin in the game. And I think when you look at the people who are involved with this company, there's one Mr. Ali who's involved with this particular business, was involved with ASOS for about a decade. And if you look at the growth of that company in ASOS over that period, it's phenomenal. This is a company that went from pennies to, you know, I think it was like 70 quid. So, you know, you've got to caveat that with, there's a lot of things that happened with ASOS and perhaps the retail business and online and all of these different things that will have been a massive kind of tailwind for these companies. You know, when you think about the use of the internet, during that period of time from, say, you know, 2002 to 2012, we know just how many people have been drawn to the net. We know, you know, how it's now become second nature for people to purchase things online, and just how easy it is. So I do want to caveat that statement. I think I saw so many of these online retailers, they come at the right time. The argument could be that perhaps it's now getting a little bit exhausted. But for me, India's a growing economy. They've got the right people involved, people with big reputations, and they've been happy to part with a load of their own cash. 52-week range is, you know, is it a quid to 10p? So, you know, to me it seems like it's the bottom end of the range and not a bad place to stake a claim.
Yeah, and as I said, they are an online fashion business is centred in India, so it's quite niche as well. It's not like trying to cover the whole world. I understand, like I said, Boohoo came along and people said, well, ASOS has done it, but like I said, they are a bit niche, so maybe, you know, that's their, you know, unique selling point, I suppose. And certainly had a couple of rises. Yesterday was up like 14%, today it's up another 11%, but it still looks nothing compared to where it's come from, you know. So it obviously can seem to have some upwards, you know, upside potential at least there, can't it, really? So okay, what's the next one you're looking at, Doc?
All right, so Pantheon Resources, it's a company that has seen a dramatic rise. I now believe that it's got a little bit overheated. There's a bunch of reasons for that. When we consider companies like Rockhopper, who, you know, allegedly have got $8 oil at their assets, the Sea Lion reserve is pretty big, as many people will be aware. They've just had another find out at the Isabel. That's allegedly going to be huge. And then you offset the size of Pantheon with a £220 million market cap against, as I say, Rockhopper, Premier Oil. There's a whole bunch of companies that are struggling, you know, Janelle. There's a whole bunch of companies that are really... I've already proved the oil, I've already proved the commercial viability of these assets that, to me, are ahead of where Pantheon are, yet are trading at big discounts to them. I believe it's because there's been a lot of speculation on what Pantheon have got. They've been the company of the moment, and there's been a lot of interest there. And as that momentum starts to wane, as sentiment starts to slow down a little bit, I think we're going to start seeing the reality start to bite. You know, this is a company that have recently announced that they, whilst they've encountered a bigger column of pay at their VOS, significantly bigger. The indicators are strong and they're good. That it's a much bigger column of pay that they've encountered against the last well. They've had some downhole issues. They've got to overcome them. They've got to flow test it. And Jay Cheatham is unprepared to give any kind of definitive thoughts on what he believes that particular asset or well could deliver.
Do you know what? I'm just looking at the share price there, right? Going from literally six. I'm looking at a 1-year chart. Going from, wow, down around 18 pence, 15 pence down there, up to over 150, and now it's come back to 109. It'll be interesting to see, because it's a gap there at 93 pence. So maybe, what do you think, a bit of support there, maybe?
I'm sure there will be some support at that level, because that was probably an area that I had to kind of overcome to make the move up. But for me, I think it's going to go a lot lower.
Okay, well, I'm going to put that on a watch list there and see how it goes. Okay, cool. And third stock, Doc, you've got a bit of interest in.
All right, this a company that's it's traded, I think, between about 4.5 and 9 pence over the last 12 months. They've just released some news today. The ticker code is EME, Emprion Energy. They've announced to the market that they've signed a conditional purchase of sale agreement for $71 million on one of its assets. If you look at, $71 million, or I think they've got to leave $10 million to one side, as a contingent, you've got $60 million, $70 million.
Sorry, what's the ticket code again?
EME.
EME, cool. Okay, cool, yeah.
And so they've made that announcement today, and whilst the share price has moved up a little bit over the last few sessions, it was a bit higher yesterday, it seems to be going down, so the news is out, the share price starts to drop off. I'm not too sure why. I mean, I'm assuming that it's due to the fact that this deal will complete at some point in Q1, and perhaps people think the deal's not going to be happening for a little while yet, so we'll sell and revisit it. To me, it seems a bit of a bonkers one, because the company will retain three assets that they'll look to develop or perhaps even divest. They don't need to raise capital if this sale goes through, and I think it's going to mean, you know, it values the company at about 20-21p this cash alone. And it's trading at 7p, so I've not bought any. I might do. I'm going to look at it a bit closer. The news has just come out this morning, but you know that there's three companies. One that I think is probably a bit overpriced or overvalued at the current level. Certainly, they need a lot more information and data out before you can make a decision on whether it's one worth holding for longer, repurchasing, whatever. You've obviously got the Coves PLC story, the fact that they've got the chairman from ASOS. Actually, there's a non-executive director also that's sitting on the board from ASOS. And you've got the fact that they've got a lot of skin in the game apart with their own cash. There's a bit of the rationale behind a buy. And then one that, you know, we're neither here nor there on.
Nice. All right. Three stocks. I mean... Do you know, out of those three there, I am interested in Coves, because like you said, one of the things, when directors put a lot of skin in the game, they don't do that for no reason, do they? And, I know they're burning a bit of cash, they need more cash. But like you said, these things, ASOS, you know, turn out to be huge. And I know, I think the stat was, you put £1,000 in when they first floated, you'd be £160,000 better off now. So that's not a bad return, is it?
It's not a bad return at all, is it? I mean to be honest, the only thing I'd say about Coves is you know, they've stated that they need to raise, I think it's something like 30 million quid over a 3-year period. But they're underway. They're doing what they need to do. It doesn't surprise me when you look at retail companies that they carry debt or they have huge PE numbers, because you go and look at successful businesses like ASOS, with a PE of, you know, it's been ages since I've looked, but let's say 70. Yeah. And Ocado, when they were at the highs of 6 quid, they had a PE of 187. So you kind of look at those numbers of some of these, you know, kind of retail businesses or online companies, and you look at those ratios of price to earnings and stuff like that and the debt that they carry. It's not unusual. You know, this model is not... one that's, you know, that's unique, really. They're following something that's already been successful, and the people that are following it are people that have already been successful with it. That doesn't give us a guarantee, but it gives us a benchmark to start from, doesn't it?
Exactly. Marvellous, Doc, that's cracking. So EME, PANR, Pantheon, and KOOV, because... Cheers, Doc, speak soon.
Take care, thanks, mate.
Okay, today's stock with potential is suggested by Johnny. Once come on home. Finding Cannibals, 1983. I'm guessing. I think it's a bit later than that, actually. I'm not going to Google it. Okay, what's the name and ticker symbol of the company that you think has potential, Johnny? It's Attract, spelt with a QT at the end, and the ticker code is ATQT. Ooh, use a QT. Let me just look at the chart here. ATQT, Attract, yes, it's 60.5 pence. Is that what Johnny's saying? What does the company do? Provide software as a service to allow e-commerce businesses to control the search, product recommendation, and placement of merchandise on their websites. If you look at Boohoo and Supergroup websites, you will see it in action. As both our customers are good brands there. Would you say it's a short, medium-term, or long-term investment? Johnny reckons it's medium-term. How many shares does the company have in issue? 26.9 million. which is okay, fine. It's not very many at all. So you can see a lot of buy-up of that share would move the price. Now, what's the current price and market cap? It is 60 pence, 16.6 million market cap. What's the revenue and profit or loss does the company generate? 2.8 million revenue, £300,000 loss for full year 2015. Company has recently announced it is now at monthly break-even EBITDA. EBITDA. And this is before interest, tax, amortization, all that stuff. And do you know what? I remember, what was it? Charlie Munger said, EBITDA's nonsense. It's just nonsense, absolute nonsense. So make your own decision as to what you think about EBITDA. How much cash or debt does the company have? Around 3 million in cash. No debt. That's a good sign there. There's three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, management co-founder is Dan Wagner. Hey, Dan. A successful internet veteran of the dot-com era. Google him. CEO is Andre Brown. Between them, they own 25% of the shares. So they've got some skin in the game, which I was chatting about with Doc in regards to Coos. You know, the directors put a lot of skin in the game. And, you know, you can only imagine they don't want the company to fail when they have a lot of money in. Often question the reason. If the CEO or CFO, you know, have got hardly any of the shares in the company, you know, they're pushing or they're selling or they're representing, why? You know, if they don't believe in it, why should you? So there we are. Andre Brown and Dan Wagner, 25% shares. Dan Wagner is chairman, but takes no salary. Also a good sign. Number two, growing recurring revenues, sticky product with some big name clients and plenty of cash for planned US expansion. And number three, Shoot Investors and Zini Capital Partners recently took a 32% stake. Their stated aim when investing, according to their website, is to build a significant minority shareholding and expect to hold investments for around 3 to 5 years, providing additional funding if required to maximize the growth, performance, and ultimate value at exit. So that's Attract. Nice one, Johnny. And obviously you're a regular here. And do you know what? You and Punk feeling lucky, setting the benchmark here, doing very good research. And this is exactly what this feature is about. You know, when I set this feature up, I didn't think you'd be submitting as good as stuff as this, documentation as this, or research as this. And you are, you know, raising the level, raising the bar. So that's Attract, ATQT. Check it out. Please do your own research on these companies. And please, by all means, go to sharepickers.com, click the link, and suggest a stock if you think you know of one I haven't covered so far and you think you've done a bit of research on it. And in fact, you know, this doing this, going through this, filling out this form will, you know, make you do research. And you may change your mind on an investment you've made. But please, by all means, go to sharepickers.com, click the link, fill out the form, and I could be featuring it on the next podcast. That's it, apart from me to say, listen, download the Vox Markets app. It's still in beta, not officially launched, but it will be getting better. Be live prices soon. Oh, yeah. You can set up multiple watch lists, including your portfolio watch lists, and also any company on those watch lists. You get sent an RNS straight to the front screen of your phone whenever they release news of significant proportions. And also, please join in just for fun, but a bit of cash involved as well for you if you win. The Vox Markets All Price Sweepstake. All you have to do is submit a guess before 4:30 on Thursday, and then we will take the price at midday Friday of the oil Brent crude. And if your guess is spot on, you win that prize in cash. If no one gets exactly right, we'll roll it over. Oh yeah, so get involved there. Go to voxmarkets.co.uk/ops if you want the app. voxmarkets.co.uk/app. Thanks for listening. Much appreciate us.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.